And for everything that I talk about, I'll make sure that I complement it with a demo. Just a quick survey before we get started. How many people are running Windows Intune today? All right, we've got a few. How many people have heard about Intune, but they haven't really gotten any hands-on time with it? All right, good. Who's never heard of Windows Intune before at all? All right, we've got a few. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad because we decided we'd do a quick overview just in case, so we'll do that quickly, and then we'll press on, and we'll go into the demos. All right, so things we'll talk about today. I'll show you a real live Windows Intune tenant and how you would run that, whether you're an IT pro running it for your own company or if you're a Microsoft partner and you're delivering Intune as a service on behalf of your customer or multiple customers. I'm going to take you through some actual troubleshooting scenarios. So it's a real environment, so there'll be things that are broken. I'll show you, you know, the process you go through to fix them potentially. And then at the end, I'll do some more demos as time permits so that you guys can get some hands-on time with things. And if there's specific things you'd like to see, I've got two environments running, so we'll do our best to try to accommodate that. And then at the very end, we have a little bit of a surprise, so I'll keep that under wraps until we get to the end of the session. With that, I'll turn it over to John.
Righto. Thanks very much, Harris. And great to see you all here. For those of you who have been on came and joined us at the stand last night, it was great. We had some really good discussions, and hopefully we're able to show you some of the details of the Windows Intune environment, and also we're at the stand for the whole week, so please come back after this session if you want to discuss any further. So the Windows Intune, in a single sentence, if I said it's SCCM in the cloud, I'm only framing part of the discussion. But I'll walk through now what the architecture looks like and just give you a basic feel for the operation. And as a cloud-based service, we work off a series of agents that are installed in the local computers for the Windows operating system devices that we manage. And these agents are, and Harris will run through how to deploy them, but they report up. They're effectively leveraging the services at the back end that we're used to. It includes like an ops manager agent, AIS. It has full inventory and reporting that it sends back up there on hardware and software. So those agents are pretty busy, and they are installed and then operate going back over the internet circuit. At no time do you need to be domain connected, and in the current release wave, if the machine has an SCCM client already on it, it will not install the Intune agent. So you have to actually remove. I'll answer this question, but if we can hold the other questions to the end, that would be great. Sorry, go on. Okay, question there was, are they aware of, sorry, the meeting connections Windows?
Meterage.
Do you mean like a metered and non-metered?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. With Windows 8, we don't have that supported in the current release wave. But what that does with metered and non-metered, it reports back the APIs through the applications, so that can then pick and choose, but it goes through the app to choose. The agent itself is not aware of metered or non-metered. It looks purely for an internet connection. But at the moment, this is one good question. We don't support Windows 8 devices in the current release. That's our next release, which is we have a cadence of roughly every 6 months from our history. We're on three releases already.
Yeah, and that's really just a timing issue because the current release of Intune shipped in June, which was before the RTM of Windows 8, so we couldn't support that because it had an RTM. The next release of Windows Intune will definitely support it.
Yeah. And when we were originally planning TechEd going back to May, we actually had planned that all the machines in all the stands and kiosks and everything like that would be Windows 7 machines managed by Windows Intune. Of course, somebody went and shipped Windows 8, which threw my whole planning out and made me rather upset. But it's a good release of an operating system we have out there, but it meant all the machines here are now Windows 8 and we don't manage them with Windows Intune. Next year, we'll certainly have that on the plan. So these agents are busy working away. They're reporting back up to the cloud service, and they're giving us also connectivity using Exchange Active Sync, EAS, using on-premise Exchange in the current release of Windows Intune to enforce the policies and collect your inventory and information. We do that with an Exchange Active Sync connector that is installed and then talks to the policies right up into the Intune service. I normally get a question about can it do this, can it do that on the devices. The devices that are supported are iOS 4.0 and above, Android 2.1 and above, and the best way I can answer, does it turn the camera on or off? I don't know, because a lot of these devices, whatever we support through an Active Sync connection is what the policies are we can support with Windows Intune to give you that basic guideline.
A little bit later in the demo, I'll be happy to show you, if you're interested, how you actually build a mobile device policy and what the options are in the console. If someone's interested in that, I'll be happy to show it.
Yeah. But this is now giving you a service that is actually supporting both the Windows platform and non-Windows platform devices. In case anybody is going to ask the question, we don't support Macs, so Mac OS X. We don't support that in Windows Intune. We don't support the earlier versions of Android. And with regard to, like I said, anything that's in the Exchange Active Sync is what we can support through Intune. We don't actually support any other unique features that we can't get to with Exchange Active Sync. And it doesn't support Office 365 in the cloud in the current release. So we need on-premise Exchange to make this work with Exchange Active Sync connector. When the data is delivered up into the cloud service, we view that as administrators through the admin console, and that's the console we're running on the stand itself. And you'll see that as Harris will walk through with you, of the services where if you're used to SCCM for administration, that is deploying applications, looking at inventory, building groups, managing groups, and particularly with SCCM 2012, managing users, we do all that through the console, and the connectivity between the agents and the console to the cloud service is ports 80 and 443. So it is very much a very friendly browser-based environment. And in that console, it basically needs Silverlight to support the application, and then you're off and running. We, again, have these consoles up for demo, and you're welcome to come and see them on the stand. But it then means the IT admin is able to look at all the inventory that's been reported and particularly manage machines that are connecting through maybe a travel club lounge, a home environment. They can be in the corporate network, but they're not SCCM agents on those as well. If you do strike a machine which is SCCM agents installed, you use a CCM setup /uninstall switch. That removes it. You can then install it into an agent. Why do we have that? Because basically you can get into race conditions in the current releases between some. One will put it on, one may take it off, and you may end up reversing backwards and forwards. So at the moment, for simplicity in the current release, single agent management, SCCM for rich environments, and Windows Intune for the mobile networks. And finally, we have a self-service portal that is available for users to pull down applications, self-enroll their machines, and contact their IT support, and that's something that Harris will take you through as well. Where are we heading now that we've got a quick overview of Windows Intune? Forgot to mention, we do have AD integration as well. To bring users into this environment, we have a DirSync connector between your AD, and that enables you to have synchronization from your Active Directory group structure into bringing users into Windows Intune. Once they're in Intune as a user, they can, of course, access the self-service portal for applications, contact, and device management. The most powerful thing I found, why I got involved with Windows Intune about 2 years ago in the beta stage, was the approach the product team have taken in engineering this product. They've come from the Windows Update environment. These guys used to write the update service, and they're now working in the Windows System Center group. So they are actually part of the System Center team. Those guys set out and said, we're not going to do this in the next release or maybe the release after, but what we're going to do is meet and exceed the capabilities of SCCM. That is the vision of this product, to offer you a cloud-based service that will be in multiple in release cycles, very short release cycles, averaging about 6 months. It is going to be very, very rich in functionality. I always can't tell you when they'll reach or meet parity with SCCM, but that is their goal. That's their vision. How that's executed, these guys are planning about 2 years out in the market, and that's about the level that they are comfortable with because they know the market is very, very dynamic. And that's why release changes are going through very short cycles and new features go into these releases. It's basically releasing almost a new product and capability set we have been averaging roughly every 6 months, very broadly. But we want to make sure people can work and be productive wherever they are, that they can work on an internet connection, they can have great experiences on the Windows environment, safe, secure, productive, they have applications. And it also, with being on the Windows environment, Intune as it stands today, you can go online as individuals, buy the Intune subscription, and that includes software insurance with the management service. That gives you Windows 7 Enterprise, Windows 8 Enterprise, and that opens up all the functionality of an enterprise operating system on a per PC per month subscription service. It becomes very powerful when you talk VDI models. I have software assurance. I can run 4 virtual machines. I have access to AppLocker. And I have, on Windows 7, you've got full access to BitLocker. And in Windows 8, you have all the enterprise features of Windows 8. It's a very powerful environment. It's not just an agent running on a machine anymore. It's a licensing construct that you can leverage. Contractors can have this as a service. So that's the vision of the product. A very quick overview and vision to help place it. I'll pass you back to Harris and then come back and help with the surprise at the end.
Thanks, John. Appreciate that. So hopefully for those of you in the room who haven't ever seen Intune before, you have a little idea of what it's all about. But now let's get into, I think, the thing you're here for, which is how to administer this thing. So I'll tell you a little bit of a story about how I got started with Windows Intune and why I love the product. I started to read about it. I thought, that's really interesting. Sounds like a compelling value proposition. And the way I wanted to learn about it was to actually use it. That's kind of how I learn things. And I think a lot of you in the room are like that. The way to learn is to actually do and to touch and to feel it. And what I found out was that Microsoft was offering a trial of the product to anyone. So you can go on the website, sign up, and get a trial just like that. So that's where I started, and I'll show you a little bit how to do that. And when you sign up for a trial, I found out you get 25 free licenses. So I said, wow, that's great, 25 licenses. Unfortunately, and I wish I could, I don't have 25 computers at home. So I thought, well, how can I use those licenses to their fullest? So I'm already kind of on the hook for, you know, doing support for friends and family. I think you know all know how that goes. So I started using Intune to, you know, manage their PCs. And so the environment I'm going to show you today is, you know, me using it to control machines all over the world for friends and family that need help. So it's not really the intent of the product, but it's very, very flexible, and you can use it in a lot of different scenarios. And I've been running this environment for now for over a year. So in that time of learning things, breaking things, making mistakes, this sort of the basis of this talk that I'm going to share with you. So the way you set up a tenant, for those of you who haven't done it, you can go to windowsintune.com. There's a tab for a free 30-day trial. You can sign up. We used to use a Windows Live ID, and now we don't anymore. With Wave C, we've now switched over, and we use an org ID, which is the same ID that you may be familiar with Office 365. And if you don't have Office 365, it's all right. You can just sign up and set up a new org ID. But if you've already set up 365 before, you can use that same ID to log in. And then there's a few tasks you have to do. You have to accept terms and conditions, and you get an email confirmation. So I will show you that now. So you go to that URL. That's the friendly URL. It's a little bit easier to remember than the one it redirects you to. When you go here, you'll notice that there's a cute little video. If you come by the showcase later, you can see that video in action. That's interesting. And then you can also sign up for the trial, as I mentioned. So if in case you miss it, there's one here, and there's one here. So really easy to find. And when you go there, it tells you exactly what you get. Free 30-day trial, up to 25 PCs. There is actually now a 90-day trial, which is even better. And all the requirements are here. So if you're not sure, you know, will Windows Intune be supported on my device? It takes you directly here to client software requirements. Which operating systems do we support? What's the internet connectivity required? Minimum disk space, all that kind of stuff is listed here. Supported web browsers. So if you don't want to use IE or something like that, and the mobile devices that John mentioned. So all of those things are listed there. And then it asks you to sign up with your user ID. Again, as I mentioned here, Windows Live IDs cannot be used. That was the case in the old version, and that's no longer the case. The reason I like that is because now we're using a corporate identity store to manage access to Windows Intune as opposed to a consumer identity store. And it also means that if you want to use single sign-on with ADFS2 and use your on-prem AD credentials, you can do that as well. So that's very useful. So if you decide this is something you want to do, and it is, again, it's zero risk, you click here, and you can sign up for the trial. And then what it'll do is it'll actually prompt you for your credentials. And I won't go through all that because I've obviously got a trial set up, but that's pretty much all you have to do. So you can be up and running in a few minutes. Okay. Once you get your tenant set up, and again, you'll get that email confirmation saying your tenant's been provisioned, then the fun part begins, which is you get to start deploying Windows Intune to your machines. This can often be a time-intensive process, and the reason for that is because it's dependent upon how you decide to deploy the product. So unlike Config Manager or other, you know, management tools that are designed for a corporate network, there's a lot of assumptions that hold in that environment that won't hold in an Intune environment. For example, not all your machines will be on the same network. Some of them will be scattered all over the world, potentially. They may be behind a firewall. You may not be an administrator on those machines. So the standard mechanisms for, say, network-based discovery or group policy-based deployment don't always apply. So some of the standard deployment tools won't work. So Intune, there's no one way for it to deploy its own client that's going to work in every circumstance. So in some cases, you're going to have to manually deploy that client. In other cases, if they're part of a domain, you can deploy via GPO, or if you have a pre-existing deployment tool that you're switching off of, you can use that mechanism. But again, some of those won't always work. In some cases, because I was dealing with an end user's device that I wasn't in control of, I had to do what I called a self-service deployment, which was I made the client available to the end users, and I sent them an email, and I said, here's your provisioning instructions. Click here, click yes, click finish, reboot. And that actually worked really well. Even my grandmother was able to do that all the way from Florida, so that worked really nicely. But the point is that you got to really think carefully about how you're going to do a deployment. If you're just dealing with 5 or 10 machines, doing a manual deployment is fine. If you want to do 5,000 machines, which Intune can scale to, you really want to think through, how do I deploy those systems? So if any of you have deployment questions or deployment challenges, definitely ask me after the session or come by the showcase, and I'll be happy to talk to you about that. Second thing you want to think of really carefully is your anti-malware strategy. So Windows Intune Endpoint Protection has an anti-malware client that comes included in it. It's, at its core, the same engine that you may have used at home for Microsoft Security Essentials or Forefront Endpoint Protection or System Center Endpoint Protection. It's essentially the same product. But the difference is that instead of reporting to an on-prem server or being an unmanaged like MSE, it actually reports into Intune. So I'm a big fan of this product for a couple reasons. One, it has an extremely low footprint. So a lot of, you know, AV products, they'll chew up CPU and memory. Windows Intune Endpoint Protection is very, very low footprint. And you can even customize the amount of CPU that it uses on your machine. So if you've got some older devices that are a little bit underpowered and you want to kind of tune Intune so it doesn't take up too many resources on that machine, you can. And then also it reports into the Intune console just like all the other elements of Intune. So I'll show you some examples of that. You can get a really good all-up view of your organization by using the client that it has. If you've got some users or you have a business reason why you don't want to use the Endpoint Protection module, you can absolutely turn that off. Intune does not require that you use it, but it's included in the license, so there's no additional cost for it. Now, when you're thinking about anti-malware, chances are some of your users, especially if it's their home machine, they may not have any anti-malware product at all, and therefore their machine's going to be in an absolutely horrible state. I'm sure you've all experienced that. Some of them will say, oh, well, I got this free thing, and it came with my system, or I bought this other product, and so you've got to work out, how do I get them off of what they've got onto Windows Intune Endpoint Protection? Now, the good thing is that Intune will actually automatically remove a number of the name brand virus products out there. Here's a list of what we support, and I've got a link there if you need a reference. So if they've got one of those products up there, the act of deploying Intune, it will automatically remove that product and deploy itself, which is great. But you'll probably have some users, and they won't have one of these, and therefore you'll have to think about your removal strategy. So you can deploy Intune on a machine that has another product on it, and it will run, but what will happen is Intune will detect that there's another anti-malware product there, and it will disable itself. So that way you won't get into a conflict situation where two programs are fighting one another. But what it means is you won't be able to achieve your objective, which is have Intune manage it. So a best practice here is if you plan to use Intune Endpoint Protection to manage these systems, and they've got AV software out there that can't be removed, make sure that they remove it first. And again, if you're not an administrator in that machine, they'll have to remove it for you. So those are some of the things you got to think through. That can cause a lot of problems. All right. Let's do a little scenario on deployment. So this is the main console for the current release that we shipped in June called Intune Wave C. And I'll go through and I'll show you some things about it in a moment. But when you're getting ready to deploy, so imagine, gotta re-authenticate. Imagine that you've just set this up and there's no machines in it. So what you'll have to do is you'll have to get started with the deployment. So it'll just be empty, essentially. So what I'm doing here is I'm signing in. With my fake org ID. Just do a refresh. All right, one more time. So if you go to the administration node, there's actually a link here for the client software download. So the first thing, again, you see that nice URL for, you know, what's required to prepare the computer, get it ready. It goes through all of those issues that I talked about. It'll show you where you can deploy the client software. And it'll actually will even show you here how many seats you have available. So you notice here I have 25 licenses, one of which is available. So I've used all but one. So I do have a license. If you try to deploy Intune onto the 26th machine, if you only have 25 licenses, the install will fail, and it'll say you have insufficient licenses. So it's good it tells you that before you go down that path. And you click here, and what it's going to do is it's going to ask you to download a zip file. And I've actually already got it downloaded. But basically, you'll download that file. And what you'll notice, I'll show you what you get in the end. Just a zip file, and inside there are two different files. One is an exe, that's the actual installer for the product, and you can see it's not very large. And then there's a certificate file in there, and that certificate is what tells the installer which tenant to connect your machine to. So it runs and it says, oh, okay, I need to pair it to Harris's tenant, and it does that. That's part of the security mechanism of Intune. And so if you let that certificate get out there in the world, that means anyone can join into your tenant. So you want to be careful about how you do the installation and the deployment, because you don't want someone to get a hold of that. So usually what I do is I try to clean that up post-install, or I deploy it remotely, and then that way it's not an issue. And you can see here there's some guidance on deployment, automatic versus manual, and then some of the follow-up actions that you do after you deploy the client to the system. And that can take anywhere from, you know, 5 to 30 minutes, depending upon their connection speed and how fast their machine is and things like that. But what you should find, after 30 minutes or so, their machine should be visible in the console, and it should be populated with data. All right. Now, once you've got your machine set up, then you can do the day-to-day stuff, which is what I enjoy, which is, you know, becoming an administrator. So what I did here was I took a list of the most common issues that I find that I have to deal with on a daily or weekly basis as an administrator. So this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but it's just the ones that I've found. So for those of you who are running real environments, I'd love to get your feedback on what things you find are challenges. But you know, the biggest one I see is machines that are offline. So you know, Intune is a cloud-based service. It requires an internet connection on 80 or 443. And that means that I can pretty much contact a machine anywhere in the world unless it's turned off or not on the internet. So the number one challenge I have with users and their mobile devices is they will turn them off or they won't be connected. And that can be a challenge because then Intune can't manage them. But the good thing is Intune will actually tell you if a machine's offline, how long it's been offline, and why I can't communicate. So I'll show you an example of that. But that's something I have to deal with users because they like to turn devices off. Second thing I always monitor for are security warnings. So things from endpoint protection to say there's been a virus discovered or I'm having an issue there. Or failed updates. So, you know, Patch Tuesday comes out, I have critical updates I need to deploy. You know, I need to make sure that those deploy successfully. Now, one of the things I try to leverage with all of these is I try to take advantage of automation. So I don't go and manually push out updates every Patch Tuesday. I have an automated deployment rule in Intune to do that for me. So most of the time, it just works. I have it automatically scanned for viruses. That just works. The only time I get involved is when there are errors or issues because something didn't happen the way it was supposed to. So I manage by exception. And that is what allows me to manage 25 machines or 10,000 machines without too much manual effort. So whenever I get warnings, whenever Intune says, look, I tried to clean the system or I tried to do something and I wasn't successful, that's when I get involved. There's a basic monitoring capability in Windows Intune. So John talked a little bit earlier about how Intune is roughly equivalent to Config Manager, and that's true. But it also has a basic monitoring capability built in, which is a lot like Ops Manager. So you don't need to run a separate product that's actually included. And the agent that it uses under the covers is actually the Ops Manager agent itself. So I always look for alerts and warnings that require follow-up. But again, to save myself time, instead of logging in every day and checking for alerts, I actually have notifications set up in the console so that when there's a critical alert, I get an email and I know about it, I can get it on my phone, and then I know, oh, I've got to do something, something's gone wrong. So again, that saves me a lot of time. I deploy a lot of software with Windows Intune. I'm going to show you a demo of that today. That's a great feature. You can basically deploy a whole host of different things with the Windows Intune software deployment wizard. I'm always looking to keep that current. So one of the things I noticed when I started with Intune, I was doing all the all the standard things that you do. I was doing endpoint protection. I was doing Microsoft Update, keeping machines patched. And people were still getting viruses. And I said, why are my users getting viruses? What are they doing that's getting them infected? And what I found out was they were running versions of Adobe Reader that were 2-3 years old. They were running versions of Java that were 2-3 years old. In the earlier versions of Intune, you couldn't do anything about that. It would tell you, but you couldn't do anything. Now that I can deploy software, I can keep those packages up to date as well. So I can take a more holistic view on device management and keep those machines current. So I'll show you a little bit of that. And then the fifth thing that I do often is I keep modifying the policies in Intune to lower the administrative burden for me and also to create a better end user experience. So Intune is great because it can actually manage policies outside of your domain, outside of GPOs. So I can do a lot of the same things I can do with group policy, but they'll apply anywhere, and it doesn't have to be a machine that's domain joined. Even a mobile device like an iPad, I can secure that with policy. And what that does is it means I can keep it more secure, protect it, and I can make that end user experience better. So, you know, I have a whole range of feedback from end users. Some say, don't ever patch my machine during the day because I need to work. I need to be productive. And you say, great, I can control that. I'll make sure patches only apply when you're not working. Easy. Some people say, oh, well, I hate the nagging. I don't like pop-ups. I don't like being notified. Just do it. Just do it quietly. Do it quickly. I don't want to be interrupted. No problem. You can do that. And you can actually create multiple policies for different groups of users to create a different experience. So you can keep everyone happy, which is wonderful. So let me show you a few examples of this. All right, so here's the main system overview pane. You can see at the very top, there's all the alerts that we talked about. So I've got one alert today, which is about logical disk free space. This is something I get with users that are, let's say they like to hoard things. They have a lot of music and videos, which is fine. But what's great about this is I can get a notification before they do that their disk is filling up and actually reach out and say, hey, got a little problem with this space. Can I help clean that up? Is there something I can do to assist you? So that's really useful. And again, that's just a little agent that's running on their system, and I can get a whole host of different alerts from Intune. Down here, you can see the endpoint protection module, which seems pretty healthy today, and then the update module. So I can see very clearly that there are some updates which have failed. And if I want to, I can go in and see exactly what machines had problems and what the error was and what's causing it. So I'll give you an example here. Got a machine that has one failed update, and it's a critical update for Silverlight, so that's pretty important. I'm not sure what's going on, but I can actually go and search for help on the error, and it knows it takes me directly to Bing. It searches on the error code, and it takes me directly to a KB article about that error. So Intune does its best to fix the problem, but in those rare instances where it can't, it takes you to guidance on what you can do to fix it. So that's really useful. Now, for the endpoint protection, it looks like things are pretty healthy today, which is wonderful. But it turns out I did, to be honest with you, I did have some malware the other day. Intune does keep a history of malware that it detects. And you notice here that these two are Java-based exploits. So you may have noticed a couple weeks ago, Java released a critical update, which was a pretty serious issue. And I did have some users that were affected by that. And so I can actually look and see, you know, when was the last time it was present? What was it? Now notice it tells me, you know, malware's not present. So I didn't get involved in this at all. Intune found the malware, cleaned it, and then logged in and reported it to me so I could be aware. But I didn't actually have to do anything about it. It did it automatically. And if I want to, I can go to the malware encyclopedia and get more data on what that exploit actually was, what caused it. Now, we talked a little bit about agent health and machines being offline. This is a frequent problem. If you've got a machine offline, and I've got one here, there's always one in every group. This is my Uncle Bob, and his machine's been offline for 16 days. So Intune's kept a record of the last time it was able to communicate, and it notifies me and says, there's a problem here. I haven't been able to communicate. It also tells me that the data that it has on the health of that system, notice this looks like a pretty healthy machine, but it says, computer hasn't contacted the service for an extended period, so the information may not be accurate or up to date. And that's really good info. So for all I know, Bob's machine may be, you know, completely broken, but it hasn't reported back in, so there's no way for me to know. So this is where I reach out to the user and say, could you please turn your machine back on? Turns out he's on vacation, which happens, and so his machine's turned off. But when he gets back and it turns back on, it'll update. It also monitors for agent health. So machine could be offline, but it also could be not installed properly for some reason. Maybe there's corruption on their machine. Maybe an upgrade didn't go well, something like that. And I can actually drill in and see if there are agents that have not been updated. So it turns out these both of these machines are having an issue where they don't have the latest version of a particular file. So Intune's able to detect that and lets me know that there's an agent installation issue. And if I want, I can click and go, and it'll search for the error, exactly what the installation problem was. Now, we've got some software errors as well. I've got one computer that's got a software installation problem. Again, I can drill in and see exactly what it is, what was the failure, and I get the error code. So you're seeing a consistent theme here. Intune automates a lot of tasks that you do on a day-to-day basis to save you time. But in the event that it can't do something or there's a failure, it gives you a very clear error code and a clear step to resolution. Now, the last thing I'll show you is this policy module. And you notice I'm getting a warning in this module. What it's saying here is that I've got devices which have settings that conflict with group policy. So what's happening here is I've got machines. They're being managed by group policy. They're pushing GPOs. And then Intune is also pushing a separate set of policies to those machines, and they conflict. And that's expected behavior because I'm trying to have two sources do two different things. They're going to have issues. What's good is Intune is smart enough to detect group policy conflicts, and it knows to say, well, okay, if group policy is managing it, I'm going to back off. But it's letting me know as the Intune administrator that it's not able to do what I'm asking it to do, and it lets me know. And I can actually drill in and see which devices are affected by that. So this is a good, you know, best practice. If you decide that you want to manage something with group policy, do that. If you want to manage it with Intune, do that. But don't set two policies that conflict because you'll have problems, obviously. And what I typically recommend is leverage Intune policies wherever you have mobile devices. Because Group policies only really apply if you have connectivity to a domain controller. So if it's a mobile device, I recommend using a Windows Intune policy. If it's a device that's always on your corporate network and always has communication with the DC, use a GPO because it's a great mechanism. One other thing I'll show you on policies is if you go into the policy node, this is where you can actually define policies and control them. And this is where I do a lot of my automation. So for example, if I want to control the firewall, I do a lot of locking down the firewall in my environment so that when users roam around the world, they're protected. And I can actually define different profiles for machines on a domain, public networks, and private networks. So I'm sure you've all seen this in Windows 7 and 8. You can control the firewall behavior in the network. I can control all of this remotely through Intune. So I don't have to rely on that user, you know, remembering to turn their firewall on when they go to a cafe. Intune can automate that for me to keep their machine protected. I can also control by exception which protocols I want to enable. So do I want to turn on iSCSI or KMS or NetLogon or any of those services? Most of them I've disabled because they should be turned off. But if I want to turn on remote assistance and things like that, I can certainly do it. So here what I'm saying is remote assistance is fine on a domain. It's fine on a private network, not allowed on a public network, as an example. The other thing I can define are security policies. So things like, you know, how often should I scan with endpoint protection? How long do I track malware? Should I scan downloads? Should I turn on network inspection? All those things. So in my case here, I've got a very basic schedule. Do a daily scan every evening, and then do a full scan every Sunday. So that's just the policy I've defined, and now I know conclusively that every machine is going to scan on that schedule. If a machine doesn't scan on that schedule, Intune's going to give me a notification saying, I tried to scan, I couldn't for some reason, maybe the machine was turned off, maybe it wasn't connected, and it lets me know. Now, if for some reason a machine doesn't scan, I can actually trigger a remote task to do that. So remote tasks are, I can send a command to a machine and make it do something. So if you see here, I've got a queued remote task. This machine was offline for a while. It needed a scan, so I said run a full scan, and it's running. And then when it's done, it'll come back and say that task has been completed. I can do things like exclusions, all the standard stuff you'd want to do. And then I can control the update behavior. So how often do I check for updates? Microsoft pushes updates 3 times a day in a 24-hour day. So I do check every 8 hours. I control when those updates apply. And then, you know, what's the behavior? So how long do they have to restart after I install the update? Do I want to allow the user to defer or delay the update, potentially if they're working? Maybe I need to do it in an hour, something like that. Sometimes I can permit that. Sometimes I don't. And then I can even control the use of network bandwidth. So someone asked earlier about metered network connections. We don't have that in the product just yet, but we do have the ability to use bits. So if you're on a location that has limited bandwidth and you want to control the use of that bandwidth, you can set the hours and say, you know, limit Intune's bandwidth during business hours, but then outside of business hours, allow it to use the full available. So I can control that. And again, I can do that on a site basis. So maybe some machines I want to limit bandwidth, some I don't. You can control that behavior. Any questions before we go on to software? All right, so this is one of my favorite features. You can basically deploy any software with Windows Intune as long as it meets a few simple criteria. One, it needs to be packaged. So it either needs to be in an MSI or EXE format. We support both. The package must be able to install silently. So part of the reason for that, if I do a mandatory deployment of software to your machine, it actually deploys silently in the system context. So that means the user can't interact with the installer. That's great because it means that Intune can deploy software to a user's machine even if they're not logged on and even if they're not an administrator. You'll never run into those permissions issues because it runs a system which can do anything. So that's great. But what it means is that the user won't see any of the prompts. So if your installer pops up a box and says, please enter this info, they're not going to see that box because it's in the system context. So you need to make sure that you need that the software installs silently. And then once you've done that and you meet those criteria, you can upload the package using the software update publisher. And then one of my best practices on software deployment, if you're going to deploy to thousands of systems, is make sure you test it. So create a test group, put some machines in the test group. I usually use my machine as a test, so if I break it, I can fix it. And then once you're sure that that software installs properly and it comes back with no errors, then you can deploy it to your production group and target the software to that group. And if you want, you can stage your deployment. So you may want to do 100 systems at a time or something like that. You can do that on a group-by-group basis. Once you deploy that software, you can also set a schedule. So maybe you want to have that install at a certain time or a certain day. You can do that. And then you want to monitor that deployment to make sure it's been successful. So I'll show you an example of how we do that. All right, so if you go into the software node, it'll show me really two things. One is, what's all the software that's deployed in the organization? So this is an all-up list of everything that's everywhere. And then a subset of that is what we call managed software. This is software that I'm deploying and mandating with Windows Intune. And you can see I've chosen some, you know, kind of indicative applications that you might be interested in. One of the ones that's an interesting scenario that I really like is you can use Windows Intune to deploy the client software for Office 365. So what I've done is I've uploaded the Link client for Office 365 and the Office client for 365. So if you've got, say, an E3 subscription or something like that where Office is included, you can use Intune to do that deployment. And because they use the same identity structure, you can do it single sign-on, which is really great. So that's something, if you're using Intune, it's a really cool scenario. You also can see things that, you know, are very common, like Java and Adobe Flash Player and things like that, and then various line of business apps that we use at Microsoft. So if I'm a developer, I can put debugging tools on their system or their VPN client, all the standard things that they need to be productive. The one I was going to show you today is Skype, because I think it's an interesting scenario. I use Intune to deploy Skype, so I'll show you. You can see it's already uploaded there, but I'll take you through kind of the process to manage that. So if you wanted to upload a piece of software, close these windows because we don't need them. You'll see this little window will open. This is the Windows Intune software publisher. Now you notice it's going to prompt you for credentials. It's the same sign-in that you have for Intune. The reason it prompts you is because this window lets you pretty much deploy anything to anyone's machine. So we want to make sure you are legitimately the administrator and you have rights to do this. When you open it, it gives you a little wizard that takes you through the process of getting software ready to be deployed. Now, in the current release of Windows Intune, we support software for a typical PC, Android device, or an iOS device. So if you've got packaged software that you want to deploy to those devices, that's absolutely supported. What I've done to save a little bit of time is I've already downloaded the installer to my local machine. I'm going to choose the MSI. Little piece of trivia, if you've ever installed Skype before, it gives you an EXE. If you're curious how I get an MSI for Skype, I can talk to you about that offline. I like using MSIs for a very specific reason, and that is they allow automatic detection of whether there's a previous version of the software installed. If you use an EXE, you have to create what's called a detection rule, which means you've got to look for a particular file or a registry key or something like that, whereas MSIs do that automatically. So it saves you time and reduces error. So here what we've done is it's reading some data from the package, so the version of Skype. Put in a URL, and you can even categorize it as well. Click Next. Now I have to tell it what architecture can this piece of software deploy on. In this case, the installer can work on 32 and 64-bit machines, so I'll choose both. And I can work on any operating system from XP to Windows 7. As John talked about earlier, you notice Windows 8 isn't in the list yet. That'll be in the next release. Now, if the software requires a command line to install silently, like a slash Q or a slash quiet or something like that, you would specify that here. Any command lines that you need, maybe there's a config file you want to point to. So sometimes, like, let's say you want to deploy Office. If you want to automatically configure Office to, you know, accept the EULA and configure itself a certain way, you need to give it an XML file. This is where you could specify that. That way you can do a silent installation. In this case, I don't need that. You can review what you put in and then click upload. And when I click that button, what it's going to do is it's going to compress the installation file, it's going to encrypt it, and upload it into the service. And again, to save time, I've already done that for you. But what you'll see at the end is there'll be a package here with the name that I gave it, and then I can manage the deployment. So just uploading it just puts it in the service. It doesn't actually push it out. I'll get with you in a second. And then I have a choice of how I want to deploy it. So there's two different ways in Intune Wave C to deploy. One is I want to do a silent installation to your machine that you can't do anything about. It's mandatory. And when you do that, you deploy it to a device. So what I've done is I've created a group that I've called Skype Computers. Those are all the computers that are supposed to get Skype. I put the machines into that group, and then I deploy to that group. And then when that client checks in the next time, Skype is going to deploy silently on the system. It'll just appear. The other option is I want to give a user software that they can deploy if they want to. It's optional. And this is a really good scenario for sort of a bring your own device kind of model, where I can't force the user to have something, but I want to make it easy for them to be productive. So I can publish that software to a group of users, and so then they can go into the portal and download it at their leisure. And I'll show you that in a minute. But let's say this one is a mandatory deployment. I can pick a deadline notice. If it's mandatory, I say it's a required install, and I set the deadline as soon as possible, 1 week, 2 weeks, etc. And then when I click finish, that'll automatically push that out. There was a question over here.
How much space do you have in Intune to store packages?
Great question. How much space do we have? So if you go to the overview pane, by default, if you set up a trial account, you get 2 gigs of storage. Now, it doesn't seem like a lot, but you can see for the things I have up there, that's only really 41% of what I have. So it's really not that bad. The storage on the back end for Windows Intune is actually Windows Azure Blob Storage. So you get 2 gigs of free blob storage. If you need to go beyond that, and I think for a large enterprise, you probably would, you can add on additional gigabytes of storage as you need to. And what I recommend to kind of keep your storage clean, there's this little manage storage window, and it'll actually show you all the packages that you have up here when you uploaded them. And just clean up old versions. When no one's getting that package anymore, you might as well get rid of it. There's no reason to keep it around, and just delete it. And that'll keep your storage fairly clean. Even the full Office client, which is by far the largest up there, it's only 660 megs, so it's still quite a bit of space. Yeah, so question is there a way to set dependencies? So there's no way in the Intune console to specify a dependency. That would be something that you should do in your package. So if I want to create a dependency or a requirement, what I do is I'd include a script with my installer, and I'd have it do a check to say, well, this needs .NET or this needs Java and so on and so forth, and then have that kick off a process to run if you need to. So if you're doing a really complex install and you want to automate it, I'd use scripting. If you don't want to do it, if you want to do it manually, I push out the dependencies first, you know, run a report, figure out what you're looking for, see if the machine's got it. If it doesn't have it, deploy it, confirm that that's deployed, and then push out the next package. So you can create a manual version of that as well. But that brings up a great point, which is, you know, how do I know my deployment's been successful? You can see we get this nice little indicator here. So for Skype, I've deployed that to 20 machines, and I can see that. There's one piece of software that has a problem, and I can tell that because I've got the red X, and I can drill in and see exactly what that is. So I monitor that, you know, within 24 hours after I push out a piece of software, I keep an eye on the program and make sure that it's deployed. Here's that Java update I talked about before, and you can see I've got 100% successful deployment for all the machines. So that's really good. Any other questions? Okay. Showed you that. Now, you may run into problems. This is the real world, and things don't always go well. The good news is Intune has some fantastic online help, and I've given you a link here. There's also a link in the console, and you can get access to things like FAQ, forums. There's videos and tutorials on how to. Whenever I don't know how to do something, there's usually a quick video or a quick little article to read. There's a technical center, and then, of course, you have Microsoft CSS for support if you get into trouble. If you have to contact CSS for support, the good news is that Intune support is included in the product for free, so it doesn't cost you anything. You can open a phone incident or an incident online, and someone will get back to you usually that same day. There's an online form to fill out to get help for both email and phone, and you can just very easily do that. I'll show you an example of that in a moment. So let me just click over here. At the top of every screen in Intune, you can see there's this link for help. If you click there, that takes you to the Windows Intune Tech Center, and you can see all the resources that I talked about. Notice that this is up to date. It applies to the June release, so everything on here is current. And as I said, here's the videos, community support, things like that. If I want to open a support request, I click there, and it takes me to a set of options. So one is I want support by phone. If I go here, you can find basically a phone number for anywhere that you are in the world. So if you need help in Australia, here's a toll-free number you can call or a local number. If you need help in the US, you've got that there as well. So pretty much any country. And then if I prefer to do, you know, web-based support, there's this nice little web form you can fill out. So you fill it out, you pick your issue, write a little blurb about the problem that you're having, and someone will get back to you very quickly. So that way, and I find their support's actually really good. And again, it's free. So if you run into trouble, it's not in the help, something's not working the way you expect, you can go there. Now, if you call support and the problem is with the Intune service itself, that's something they can generally fix because they have access to it. If the problem is on the endpoint, which they don't control, they're probably going to need you to collect some data. And if you've called support before, you know this is one of the more common things that you do, is they've got to get some diagnostic information off of your machine to figure out what's wrong with it. And they actually have a great tool for that. It's called MSDT, or the Microsoft Support and Diagnostic Tool. And I'll give you an example of how that works if anyone's not used that before. So what you do, imagine that this is the affected machine. You go start run MSDT, and it's going to open a window. And then the support person is going to provide you with a secure passcode. And it's just a string of numbers. You type that in and click next. And then what it's going to do is it's going to run a bunch of diagnostic information on that machine, collect the logs, collect settings, various things that they need, and then upload them to a secure location associated with your case so that they can review it. So they can see things like, oh, you know, your machine has a corrupt WMI namespace or something like that. There's an error in the log, and then they can help you figure out what's going wrong with that machine. So I've done that a lot. It's a really good process, very simple. And again, even your grandmother can do it. All I have to do is type in a, you know, 8-digit number or something like that. So very, very simple. All right, I showed you that. Now, let me show you the company portal. So John talked about this. This is a great one. If you go into the administration node, there's a new link here called Company Portal. And if you scroll down, there's two versions of it. There's one for a PC, and there's one for a mobile device. I'll show you the one for a PC. So this is a custom portal that you can build for your organization. You can give it your company name. And notice, when I sign in, it did single sign-on using my org ID because I was already logged in. So I didn't get prompted at all, which was great. But if I did, it would be the same ID that I always use. And then this is the experience that I get. So if I need to contact IT, I've got a link here. If I want to manage my devices, I can go to this link, and it shows me all the devices which are associated with me. So we have this concept of user-centric management. So that means that Intune knows which devices belong to Harris, and these are the devices that I'd see. And every user now can get a license for up to 5 devices. So if your users say, okay, I've got Intune running it at work, I want to bring my phone from home, I want to bring my tablet from home, you can have all of those managed for no additional charge. So they can have all their devices in here, and then they can manage them. So if they need to do something like remote wipe on their mobile device or their iPad, they can definitely do that. The other thing you get is this app store. So the way to think about this is like an app store or a marketplace for your company. And you can put in various things in here. So remember I talked about how you can deploy something for users to deploy when they want? Well, this is the idea. So I've made Office 365 and various tools available so that user can bring their device into work, and if they want to, load it on their machine. So maybe they want to deploy Link. And if they click here, they'll see a list of their device. In this case, Link's already installed. So Intune knows that, and it says, it's installed. There's nothing for you to do. But if I click on something that I don't have installed, like some of these debug tools, oh, those are installed too, then it'll know that. So this will allow the user to decide on software that they want to have, and they can put it on at their leisure. So it's making it easier for them to get onboarded and productive with their device. The other thing to note is that this portal knows the capability of your device and your ID. So it's only going to show me software that's compatible with my system. So if I log in on an iPad, I'm going to see a very different set of software than if I'm logged in on a PC. It's also only going to show me software that IT has made available to me. So I may log in and see one set of software. Someone in marketing may see a completely different set of software. So you can customize that experience. So rather than sending someone to a consumer app store where you have software for the whole world, and you may not want to put some software up there, and there's 20 million options, whatever, you can actually make it really simple for them and say, these are the things that we think that you need on your device. All right. So the next thing I'm going to show you is this concept of user-centric management. So the idea here is that, as I said, you can associate a user and their devices. So I'll show you an example here. This is my user account. And it knows that Harris Schneiderman, the ID, is associated with this computer. Now, I like to name my machines, like myself, so they're easier to find. But your users may choose some ridiculous random name that makes no sense. And that's OK, because you can basically map those two together. And that way, I can see all the devices that belong to that particular user. So it's really easy. And then I can also see, of course, their membership. So what groups are they a member of? And therefore, what policies are they getting? So that's really good, because I may want to create a consistent experience for a user on any of their devices. So their work device and their personal device. If I want to give them software, I don't have to deploy it to two different machines. I can deploy it simply to them, and then they can have that available. Now, I'm going to show you a little bit of mobile device management. To do that, I'm going to log into my other environment. For those who are interested, these demos are available at the showcase. So if you want to have a play with any of these environments, you're welcome to come on down and take a look. So this environment has quite a few more devices. You can see here's a summary of all my computers that I have in the organization, traditional PCs. And then I also have a list of mobile devices as well. So Android, iOS, Windows Mobile, Windows Phone, etc. I can see all of those there in the pane. And then if I want to, I can take a look at the mobile devices there and the policies. So for example, let's see what my iDevices are. In this environment, I have four of them. And notice again, like I showed you before, it knows the user that's associated with this device and that they're allowed to access it. And I can get some very basic things like alerts and policies. Again, I can apply policies to those mobile devices and make sure that they're compliant. In this case, this device is pretty healthy. But if I want, I showed you some PC policies before. Now I'll show you some mobile device policies. So this is the window where I define it. So the first thing I get to decide is, do I want to do enforcement on devices that are non-compliant? So if a device comes in and it doesn't comply with my policy, do I want to give it access, yes or no? Then I can define, well, what does compliance mean? Does it need a password? How long should that password be? How often does it lock itself? Do I want to require complex passwords or repeated sign-in failures, things like that? Do I want to enforce encryption? Do I want to allow them to download email to their device? And do I want to allow them to use a camera and a web browser? So these are some of the basic things that you can do using Exchange Active Sync. If you've used Active Sync before, these are, should all be very familiar to you. But what I'm doing is I'm taking that Active Sync management and pulling it into Intune so that I can centrally manage the user's PC and their mobile device from one location. And then I can take this policy framework, which we have with Active Sync, and add to it something which Active Sync can't do, which is do deployment of software to those machines. In the case of a mobile device, that's typically sideloading of an application. So I know someone came by yesterday, and they had me, I demonstrated sideloading on their iPhone. But essentially, you can take, you know, package software that's designed for one of those consumer-based devices and deploy it. So you can see here I have some package software for iOS, Android, etc., and I can deploy those applications to the user. Again, what they do is they bring their device into work, they go to that mobile portal, they see the apps that are available, and they click, and that app will deploy. So that's a way for me to deploy software to a device that I'm not managing, I don't have any control over, but they can quickly get up to speed. And then when they're done, maybe they leave the company, I can remove those pieces of software. Now, one of the things that's really useful, because sometimes you put software out there and you say, well, is anyone really using that? This actually shows you that I'm making it available to 19 users, but no one's downloaded it. So clearly, I'm not doing a good job in my PR department of making that available, but that's good. You can actually look at usage. So if someone's, you know, maybe your company's paying for something and no one's using it, you can say, well, obviously it's not very important. Maybe we don't need to buy that anymore. All right. Any questions? Wow, great question. So the question was, will Windows RT be supported by the next release of Intune? That's actually an awesome segue, because we're now at the point of the discussion where I'm going to unveil the surprise, which is we're going to tell you about the next release of Intune. So that's how we're going to finish up the session today. Are there any other questions before we get into that? Sorry, what was the question? It's a good question. So can you create a customized policy within ADMX? The answer, unfortunately, is no. The standard policies that you have there in Intune are all that we support today. That's certainly something we're looking to advance, but you're absolutely right. There is more flexibility and control when you use group policy on-prem, and that's because, obviously, it's an on-prem environment. You can do whatever you want, essentially. Whereas Intune is a little bit more limited in terms of the policies that it supports. Managed servers. Okay, so there's no capability in Windows Intune today to manage servers. It's not a supported scenario. The idea is that, again, for well-connected systems that are on your corporate network, you know, Config Manager is the preferred management solution for that. So it's definitely been feedback. You know, I have a number of customers who have said, you know, we see ourselves in the next few years, you know, moving away from on-prem management infrastructure and having completely cloud-based infrastructure. You've got a great story with desktops and mobile devices. What about my server environment? So it's something that, you know, we're certainly considering. I think it's great feedback, and I absolutely agree that servers should be some of the scenarios we cover. Unfortunately, it's not something we have in the product today. The product group's answer is, you know, use Config Manager for management of servers and other, you know, on-prem systems. Gentlemen in the back. So the question is, if you have the Config Manager agent installed, do you need to install the Intune agent? My recommendation is to try not to install both agents at the same time, because it creates problems and it can be challenging to do. It's not really a scenario that's tested and supported. I think the best thing you can do if you're an existing Config Manager customer and you're using the product is to figure out where does Intune have a fit in my environment and where would it be valuable. Again, I think mobile devices, great scenario for Intune. BYO, great scenario for Intune. Corporate machines, probably a better scenario for Config Manager. So work out which devices you want to manage, and then try to only have that one agent deployed if you can. There are ways to do it, but it's really better. Save yourself the headache. It goes back to that whole discussion with group policy, right? There's different ways you can do things. Pick one. Don't try to do two or three, and then you'll get really unfortunate behavior. I think there was one more over here, potentially. The installation file? It does, actually. It does get installed. There's a hidden directory where it will download the MSI. And the reason we do that is if the installation gets interrupted at some point, number one, we have it partially cached, and then once it's fully downloaded, it's there locally on the machine. So maybe it downloads, but then the user shuts their machine down, and they walk away, and then we can't finish the install. When it wakes back up, it's got a local copy to do the installation. No, actually, it's in a different directory. Intune has its own location for caching files and policies and things like that. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. I can show you if you want.
So where is that directory?
Okay.
Well, perhaps can I just do my bit and then
so
come back with
the FAQ? We'll table that, and then I'll switch over to John. John, you, if you want to click over, you can.
Which button?
You'll hit one. That one. That's what I was going to do. Go for it.
Hey. Works. I love technology when it works. Okay, what I'm going to talk about is the next release of Windows Intune. We're currently at Wave C release. The next release is referred to as Wave D. And like I said, the cycle we've been executing is a cadence of roughly every 6 months, somewhere in there. And if you want to think about it, we don't require new agent updates or pushouts. The upgrades happen at the back end and users are migrated over to the service in a time window. So as users come onto Wave C, we release Wave D, that will roll through and they will basically just log on to the console one day and have new functionality appear. So what's coming? Well, we had a bit of a new release came out, and that has been blogged publicly in the System Center, SP1 Beta release. I have included the site here so you can see the full transcript of it. But it is really now announcing what we're doing is merging the two. We're merging System Center, we're merging Windows Intune. Like I said, the idea was to have a service that would meet or exceed SCCM. This is our first step on our integration of SCCM and Windows Intune. It's going to one of the goals and very, very popular requests, single pane of glass management if you have SCCM. If you don't have SCCM, that's fine. You can still run a totally cloud service, and that way you can support with both infrastructures. Very important first step is going to happen in the next release. And it will also be our management platform for Windows 8 and devices. And in this way, what we're doing is we're bringing in the division that Windows Intune will look after the internet-connected devices, the highly mobile devices. SCCM is, of course, giving you your traditional on-site management, much as we've been discussing today. Licensing. This is a very important one because Windows Intune will move to a user-based licensing model, and this will include rights for SCCM 2012. There's more blurb in the blog behind this, but it basically gives you a capability that if you have your SCCM CAL, you can add a smaller layer on top of that to include Windows Intune. So what we've been doing in the past is having a model where you have software assurance on your desktop and then you could add Windows Intune. Now we're moving that to if you already have your SCCM covered, Core CAL for example, then what you can do is add, a small layer of management to leverage that with Windows Intune. And this is all covered in quite a bit of detail in the blog site. This is really exciting for us because it's the first step where we're seeing the two becoming one platform. So from a usability point of view, you just turn the dial between what's on-premise. It's not having to switch consoles, not having to switch systems. And obviously there will be the first release, more releases will come and there'll be richer functionality. So that's literally just come out hot off the press yesterday morning when the blog was published. So a lot of detail in there. So please have a look at that and come by and ask us on the stand if you have any other questions on that. Very exciting time for us. It was great to have software assurance and leverage that licensing with Windows Intune. Now we're leveraging SCCM, your investment in Core CAL. Question?
Just to understand, so
What it does is SCTM, the investment there, because if you imagine we're moving to an integrated environment, it means that you've already got an investment in SCTM. We're adding an extra functionality with Intune, so that instead of having to replace it with a whole Intune management stack, you can just buy a layer that goes on top of what you've already got. So that'll give you the SCCM layer, and it'll give you the Intune layer as well. No, sorry. Okay, if I understand that correctly, does a customer who's already purchased Intune, do they have use rights for SCCM? No, that's not what I'm meaning. You imagine it like the layer model. You just, for every component of management, SCCM is a component, you layer that on top.
So the way to think of it is this. Maybe you have a site today that's managed with Config Manager. Maybe you're managing your data center and you're licensed for that. And then you want to add a whole range of new mobile devices that are coming into the company, and you get an Intune license for those. So each device is running either Intune or Config Manager. So you only need one license. But then they can all feed up into, say, a centralized console, and you don't have to pay an additional license for that Intune machine. That's kind of the point. So you never have to buy more than one license.
Yeah. The philosophy is here not to double up, not purchase twice on the licensing. Okay. Question up the back.
The new beta for Configuration Manager SP1 supports Mac. How is that going to work with Intune's for that also?
Okay. How will the new support model for Mac in SCCM work with Intune, singular, just not to be confused with any other marketed product that starts with an I and ends with an S. So we have to be really, really clear on that, or our marketing people get upset with me. The way it works, if you imagine, if think of Mac and the announcement around that for SCCM, that is something you'll have like on-premise, equivalent to having, in my mindset, another PC. So that's going to be managed on-premise. That'll be SCCM. When you move to Intune, we're looking after the mobile internet devices. That's your iOS, your Androids, and stuff like that. We will not be supporting Mac OS X or Linux with Intune. Think of that as being your on-premise management, Intune being your mobile management. However, in the next release, we're moving to a single pane of glass. Very good question. When will the two products meet parity? I don't have an answer for that. With the way I mentioned earlier about the product teams look to up to about 2 years out, because the market is so dynamic, they think planning more than 2 years is not really beneficial. I don't have an answer on that, but what I'm seeing is that you're obviously getting a lot of the mobility features are now coming into Intune, and they're working really well. A very good example would be in the BYOD model. When I've talked to customers about that, they don't envisage in BYOD deploying an operating system to it. Intune manages BYOD really well. On-premise, most customers there are deploying operating systems, which is a key functional difference that SCCM has. So you've got those two. At the moment, that's going to be, from my management background in desktops, that's one of the big, big differences. BYD, no OS, SCCM on-site with an OS. We don't have a roadmap date or a feature. And it's one of the very popularly requested features, so you're right on the mark. I'd love to have it, but don't have it yet.
So Windows 8, is RT as well, or is it just the...
Okay, we're covering Windows 8 devices. Have a look at the site, and that goes into all the detail on that one.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Oh, sorry, another one. Is that? Correct, except for the fact it's Intune, not Intunes. I-E.
Yeah.
I-E. On premise, SCCM, cloud base, Intune.
Yep. So if you want an on-prem equivalent, that's where Config Manager comes in. That's the idea. Guys, thank you for the time today. What we're going to, you know, what we went through really is, you know, how to manage a full tenant if you're an IT pro or partner. I showed you hopefully how to troubleshoot a few issues. If you've got interesting issues in your environment, definitely come by and talk to me about that. And hopefully I showed you a very useful and compelling demo. There are a few other sessions that I might recommend while you're here at TechEd. There's some great ones, of course. If you want to talk more about BYOD, bring your own device, there's a session coming up on that topic. And then if you're interested in, you know, deploying Office as a streaming service, there's a click-to-run session from Jeremy that's really interesting. Again, that's something that you could use Intune to deploy. So if you're looking to deploy 365, I think that's a great session for you. John and I really enjoyed this. Thank you for the time. If you want to talk more about this, come by the showcase. We'll be there all week. And you can ask questions and actually run the demo environment yourself if you like. Thank you very much. Please complete your evals. That's really important. That's the reason why John and I get to come back here. So if you enjoyed it, or even if you didn't, please fill out an eval because we'd really like to come back next year. So thank you.